Hello, dear brethren, and God bless you. Today we are continuing the study of the book of Revelation, and we will read and explain Revelation chapter 19. God bless you, Angela.
God bless you, dear brethren.
And hello, Brother Joseph.
Hello, God bless you.
It's nice and exciting to reach towards the end of the book of Revelation and see what the Lord has for the future for us.
Amen. Amen. It's all prophecies. It's all prophecies, and we thank the Lord for His wisdom, His discernment, His insight. It's all Jesus. It's all Him.
Amen. Amen.
So far we've been through from chapter 1 through 18. Mm-hmm. So we have four more chapters to go.
And now comes the best part.
Yeah. The most inspiring.
Well, the best for us, but the worst for the devil.
Yes.
Amen.
Amen.
Shall we start with verse 1?
Yes. Let's start right away, full blast.
Revelation 19, verse 1. And after these things, I heard the great voice of much people in heaven saying, Alleluia, salvation and glory and honor and power unto the Lord our God.
And so far they're giving glory, honor, power to the devil and to the world and to the multinational and to the Antichrist and to the atheist nations of the world. But the day will come that we'll go all to Jesus. Amen.
Amen. For true and righteous are his judgments. For he has judged the great whore, which did corrupt the earth with her fornication, and has avenged the blood of his servants at her hand. And again they said, Alleluia, and her smoke rose up forever and ever.
Alleluia. So you remember the two chapters, the previous 17 and 18, the great whore?
Yes.
Which, to the best of our understanding, all right, it's a spirit of materialism. Like we said, it's a... Baal in the Old Testament, Mammon in the New Testament, Babylon in the book of Revelation, materialism, capitalism today. So there is no other country in the world except America that fits the picture. It's a spirit. Spirit of Babylon, the whore, travels from country to country, nation to nation. Now it's a religion, now it's an empire, now it's a materialistic nation. Okay, now for sure the base... It's in America, which has contaminated the world, spread capitalism, greed for money everywhere. And we saw the destruction of America,
yes.
Babylon the whore, in chapter 17 and 18. And how all heaven is rejoicing. It's they just praise the Lord.
And what does it mean, her smoke rose up forever and ever? How can that be?
Yeah, it means sometimes the Bible speaks in parable. It means that it will never rise again.
Okay.
It means it forever and ever until, obviously, there is a new heaven and new earth, which we will see that in the chapter 21 and 22.
So it won't be inhabited again?
No, because it will be burned. In Revelation 29 and 10, the earth is burned. It's burned, destroyed, in chapter 20, verse 10. Verse 9 and 10. But the next chapter, 21, we see new heaven and new earth.
Okay. I guess we will get there and we will study.
Yeah, in about 1,000 years, we'll see the directly. you just need to wait a little bit.
I need to wait 1,000 years?
Yeah, but in the spirit, there is no... You don't get bored in the spirit. You believe in the eternal now. There is no calendars in the New Jerusalem. Just pray to be faithful that we can enter.
Amen.
Yes, amen.
Amen.
We don't want to end up in the new earth. We want New Jerusalem.
Thank you.
By
Lord.
God's grace.
Yes.
He that is faithful until the end, all right, shall be saved. Matthew 24, 13.
Amen.
Amen.
I continue, verse 4.
Yes, please.
And the 24 elders and the four beasts fell down and worshipped God that sat on the throne, saying,
Amen.
Amen. Alleluia.
Alleluia.
And a voice came out of the throne, saying, Praise our God, all ye his servants, and ye that fear him, both small and great.
Wow. Today in this world, there is so many reasons to complain, to cry, to be depressed, or obsessed. But in heaven, we just be thankful and happy. We'll be happy like Jesus. Like Jesus was loving the Father, so will we. He is going to be wonderful. Verse 6.
Revelation 19, verse 6. And I heard as it were the voice of a great multitude, and as the voice of many waters, and as the voice of mighty thunderings, saying, Alleluia,
Alleluia.
For the Lord God omnipotent reigneth.
Reigneth. Praise the Lord.
Yes.
Praise the Lord.
Thank
Hallelujah.
You, Jesus.
See, he begins to reign as soon as, this is after the rapture, of course. Mm-hmm. So he begins to reign as soon as the bride gets in heaven. Mind that on earth, the Antichrist is still around. According to Daniel 12, verse 11 and 12, he still has this point. This is between the wrath of God, Revelation 15 to 19, and the beginning of Armageddon. So we just passed here 30 days of wrath of God, and we enter into
on
the...
On earth.
On earth, yeah. And while there is heaven in heaven, the marriage feast of the Lamb, the marriage, which now we're going to read. But then we are just at the beginning, at the eve, the thresholds of the battle of Armageddon. But let's go to let's see what happens in heaven during the 30 days of wrath of God on earth. While there is hell on earth, let's see what's happening in heaven. Verse 7.
Let us be glad and rejoice and give honor to him, for the marriage of the Lamb is come, and his wife has made herself ready.
Question, are we getting ready? Are we getting ready? Are we postponing to be faithful until tomorrow? Hmm. Are we postponing to tomorrow to go get the oil of faithfulness? Or forsaking all for Jesus? Or being a soldier for Jesus? Or going around reaching the lost for Jesus? Are we postponing? Are we continue dreading along, warming up church bench over here, another church bench over there, and the oil tomorrow, the oil of faithfulness, of activism for Jesus, of fruitfulness, of reaching the souls for Jesus, lost souls. Are we postponing that? Then we're not going to be there with the bride. We're going to be with everybody around clapping hands to the bride. But we're not going to be the bride. And the choice is up to us. God does not choose who is going to vomit out of this year, who is going to marry Philadelphia. He doesn't choose. We choose by our faithfulness. If any man will come after me. Let's
but you're saying that we get ready by doing all these works for the Lord?
Yes,
like
working,
but isn't it?
It's by work.
Isn't it God's grace that makes us be with him, that be saved, that live with him forever?
Absolutely no. That's just a lie that they preach today. Galatians 5:4, he talked to a church who was off the track, a church. He said, you fall from grace. Like grace is like, it's all by merits when it comes to crown. For free is only salvation. See, grace includes everything. Includes salvation, includes reward, includes forgiveness, all by grace. Mm-hmm. But there are some things that are not included in the grace. What is that?
You said includes everything.
Yeah, includes everything, that's good. But there are things which are not included. Disobedience, rebelliousness.
Of course, yes.
The devil is not under grace. Laodicea, the church is not under grace. Under grace, Revelation 3, 14, 16. The church of Sardis, Revelation 3, 1, is not under grace, except for a few who were faithful. So grace is not some kind of a blank check, go and do what you want with it. Mm-hmm, mm-hmm. Grace... it's like God gives it to the people who need to get saved, yes. But then grace is something that it empowers you to fulfill God's will, is the power of God. Yes. Grace is even bigger than that. But grace does not cover for your willful, deliberate choice sins. It does not cover for that. Mm-hmm, mm-hmm. Grace did not cover for the guy in Matthew 25 that buried his talent. Grace did not cover for the wrong choices of Ananias and Sapphira. Grace covered David because he repented truly about Bathsheba and Uriah, but it did not cover for Saul, who did not repent the same way. Mm-hmm. Grace is not a blank check like some false prophets are talking today about. Because they live like hell, as hypocrites as they want. They're under grace. They're not under grace. They're under the stake. Galatians 5:4, you're fallen from grace. From grace you can fall. Grace is not salvation. Salvation is part of grace. But grace is not like once you have salvation, it's forever. Grace comes and goes. don't receive the grace of God in vain.
So you lose salvation then?
What?
That therefore you can lose salvation?
You can lose it if you never had it, but if you have it, you never lose it. You can see in 1 Corinthians 3, 14 and 15, your evil, if you built on Christ the rock in an evil way, in a selfish way, in a disobedient way, in a half-hearted way, your work shall be burned, 1 Corinthians 3, 14 and 15. But yet yourself shall be saved, it says. But you lose your crown, but Jesus can vomit you out of his mouth, but you can still be Laodicea, Sardis, Ananias and Sapphira. You understand? So grace and salvation are two different things.
Yes, nevertheless, you said grace covers everything, salvation and being...
No, covers, includes everything.
Includes, yes, sorry, not
but
covers.
But doesn't cover everything.
Right, right.
Includes everything that is good, but doesn't cover for everything, doesn't cover for disobedience.
But you believe once saved, you cannot lose your salvation.
Yeah.
Even if you build wrongly on your salvation, you remain saved.
Yeah, Donna, can you please find for me 1 Corinthians 3, 14 and 15? That's exactly what it says.
Yet you said you can lose grace.
You can lose grace.
And you remain saved without grace.
See, you receive salvation through grace.
Yes.
And you cannot lose it because it's written. It's based on the blood of Christ, the sacrifice of Christ. It's not based on your works. Mm-hmm. You cannot lose it. So salvation is part of grace. You receive it by grace.
Yes.
Okay. But grace includes a lot of things. Includes healing. Includes the crown you get in heaven. A crown which you can also lose. Revelation 3:11, beware that nobody steals your crown. Mm-hmm. Like Judas lost his crown. How come he was not under grace? Because he was disobedient. Mm-hmm. Do you have your please read?
Yes.
1 Corinthians 3:15. If any man's work shall be burned, he shall suffer loss, but he himself shall be saved, yet so as by fire.
Wow. Thank you, John. 9-year-old. Pretty good, my son with his Bible. Thank you, John. So, John reads, he himself shall be saved,
yes.
Yet so as by fire. In other words, everything is going to be burned. Amen? It's like, a chicken, if you put a chicken in the fire, I hope you don't. A chicken that is alive, don't. But if you do, all the feather get burned. If you keep it there for 5 seconds, mm-hmm. Poor chicken, don't do that. You'll be like that. You'll be like a chicken on the fire for a few seconds, all the feather burned, and you're there yelling and screaming, hey, what happened to my merits, my blessing, my crown? Yeah, all feathers that got burned because you were rebellious, disobedient, like Adam and Eve. They were rebellious and lost all the blessings. Amen?
Yes.
Why,
yes,
Adam and Eve, why when they were not under grace? Because... grace does not cover for disobedience. Mm-hmm, okay. When something is written, you shall not eat this fruit. If you do, you've fallen from grace.
Yeah. Yes. So then the bride of Christ, because we are talking about Revelation 19.
Yeah, we're stuck here.
It's the Christians who, they are saved by grace, but they also, you said they reach the lost, they evangelize, they get busy serving the Lord actively, not just going to church. And therefore, they fill their lamp with the oil of works.
Or the works in Christ.
Of works in Christ, yes.
Yes.
And they are the bride.
Yeah, the ones who do full-heartedly, yes. But the bride of Christ can also be one who doesn't have work, but is full heart. For example, one can be paralyzed in bed. They cannot move a finger. But only God knows how much of his heart or her heart is given to God in that paralytic bed in the hospital. Only God knows. I mean, there was a guy crucified next to Jesus. Today you shall be in paradise. What did he do? Nothing. Mm-hmm. Zero. But Jesus looks at the heart. 1 Samuel 16:7. God does not look at the appearance, but God looks at the heart. So there'll be people at the judgment seat of Christ, 2 Corinthians 5:10. There'll be people with a lot of works who will not have the crown of the bride. And there will be people with less work who will have the crown of Christ. Do you understand?
Yeah, well, then it's a contradiction of what we said before.
It is not a contradiction. Because many last shall be first, many first shall be last. It's not a contradiction, not at all.
So if I am saved and I work for Christ as hard as I can, am I still not be the bride?
Not if you are of a heart. You can be like those in Matthew 7, 21 to 23. We did this and we did that. The sound the trumpet. We cast out devil. Look at us. We, in the name of Jesus, we did mighty works. And Jesus says, I don't know you. Mm-hmm. Why? They were of a heart. They did it. They did all kinds of stuff. All kinds of stuff in the name of Jesus, but they did it for their church, their denomination, their sect, for themselves, to lift up themselves, not to lift up God. Saul, he went and fought against Amalek, and he won the battle and everything, but he didn't obey completely, and he lost the crown.
Mm-hmm.
David, he went with Bathsheba, did a sin even worse than Saul, but he got forgiven because he was full heart and he repented full heart.
Mm-hmm. Okay, so also the intention of my heart matters a lot.
Yeah, no, that's at the beginning and the end. Because you can be paralytic, paralyzed in bed, you cannot do nothing.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
Maybe you can't even open your eyes to smile with your eyes. You're just paralyzed, but in your heart, you are fighting the battle of faith. You're winning the battle of faith. And you give Jesus your heart 200%. Like Abraham, that God knew he was a full heart, even before he offered Isaac. Before offering Isaac, he received the promises. So when he offered Isaac, there was just a fulfillment too, mm-hmm. for the people who want to see.
Okay,
but God already knew.
Yes.
And if you see the seven churches of Revelation, the seven churches of Apocalypse. Okay, Revelation chapter 2 and 3. Seven churches. Okay, the seven churches. Did Jesus say you're under grace? Never. Never.
No.
Only one said that. Was kind of like that. Philadelphia, because you already passed the test. All the other six, if you overcome, if you win,
he said to each one of them, I know your works.
I know your works. Seven times, exactly. Mm-hmm. Seven times. I know your works. I know my grace.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
I know you're under grace. You live like hell. Don't worry. I'm a merciful God. Your works. And because I know your words, I'm going to vomit you out because I don't want to have a stomachache. Isn't that typical? Why would he vomit out the church? Because that church was part of his body, do you understand?
Mm-hmm.
And so by vomiting her out, she's not part anymore of her body. She's out of his body.
Wow.
That's what you can be expelled from the body of Christ. Can they lose salvation? If they are saved? No. They can be vomited, but saved vomit. Have you ever saved vomit? Just go pick up some vomit and put it in the fridge and freeze it?
I don't know.
I don't have any idea how I was going to do that. But my impression is that by vomiting them out, they're not part of the body of Christ anymore. Are they still saved? I think so. If they were saved.
Isn't being saved part of the body of Christ? How can it be not part of the
body of Christ? That's a theological discussion. So they want to get into that. But for sure, they're going to be vomited. Revelation 3:16. So what that theologically exactly means, you can worry about that. I don't have time for that. I'll find out in heaven. But they'll be vomited for sure.
Yeah, that's clear.
That's
sad. So what does that tell us? Be faithful. Amen. Be faithful.
Amen.
Be faithful in the least. I don't want to show up in heaven. Look at what I did. Trumpet. Trumpet. And Jesus said, yeah? Oh, yeah, you did this and that. Yeah, look at me. Matthew 7, 21, 23. I don't know you. But we came for the marriage. Look, you have a lamp here. No oil, but the lamp is here. I don't know you. Okay?
Amen.
So
God help
you
us.
Want to carry,
Verse 8.
Is it clear so far?
Yes, thank you.
Because today the devil goes around saying, you're under grace, God is love. Yeah, God is love, but you're not under grace if you disobey.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Next.
Verse 8.
No, we're going to start. Go 7 to 9 non-stop so we can get the grasp of the paragraph.
Revelation 19, 7 through 9. Let us be glad and rejoice and give honor to him, for the marriage of the Lamb is come, and his wife has made herself ready. And to her was granted that she should be arrayed in fine linen, clean and white, for the fine linen is the righteousness of the saints. And he said unto me, write, blessed are they which are called unto the marriage supper of the Lamb. And he said unto me, these are the true sayings of God.
Wow.
Amen.
Praise God.
Here it says that the fine linen is the righteousness of the saints. But in Corinthians it says that our righteousness is of God. So how do you explain that fine linen is the righteousness of the saints?
It's the same thing. It's the same thing.
The same thing as?
Yeah, it's just... If you put this under the spotlight of other scripture, it's self-explanatory. It means if one scripture says that and the scripture says this, put them together, what do you get? You get that the fine linen is the righteousness of the saints which they receive of God.
Okay.
Excuse me.
And what does he mean, this righteousness?
Your works in Christ. Works.
Like you explained before.
Like you explained before. Matthew 7:20, by the fruits you shall know them. Not like the false prophets say today, we're under grace, God is love. Yeah, God is love, we're under grace. If you walk in obedience. But if you walk like Judas, like Ananias and Sapphira, like Saul, the King Saul, and all the rest of the weirdos, like Diotrephes, the false pastor of the third epistle of John, you're not under grace. Why? Because you don't want. My wife, he forgive me everything, of course. I'm under grace. She give me grace any day. But if I live like hell and I walk like the devil and I walk in adultery and if I walk in sin, she's going to say, listen, buddy, I love you, of course, but you're too heavy to carry. So here is my warning. Either you change or I change. Amen?
Or I change husband or what?
For sure. For sure. Absolutely.
No, but that would be right, of course.
In Matthew chapter 5, it says for fornication, you can tell your spouse to head the road.
Yes.
Verse 9, it says, blessed are they which are called unto the marriage supper of the Lamb. This is the bride or not?
Yeah, this is the bride. See, because you're
called.
The fact that you're Christian doesn't mean automatically you get a free pass to the marriage supper.
You so need this to be is called. The bride? The ones what? Who are called unto the marriage supper of the Lamb is the bride?
Read it, what
verse
it says.
9.
Read it again.
He said unto me, write, blessed are they which are called unto the marriage supper of the Lamb.
Okay, so you can interpret both ways. To go there and clap hands, or call to be part of the bride. It depends on what point of view you look at.
And who are those who go there to the marriage supper and clap hands?
Well, the Christians.
Who are not part of the bride.
Who are not part of the bride.
In other words, all the Christians are in heaven, are with the Lord, but not all are part of the bride.
Of course not. Of course not.
Because the bride, it is, the being of the bride, it is that you make yourself ready and you have your works.
Of course, we can see that, you can see that in the dead church, the church of the dead, Sardis, Revelation 3:1. It says, you have a name to be alive, but you are dead, Revelation 3:5. If you overcome, I shall not erase your name. So these are Christian, the church of Sardis, by the name was written in the book of life. Mm-hmm. Which it can be erased. But then there is another book, the book of the Lamb, which cannot be erased because it's written by the ink of the blood of Jesus. Or these are only the ones who give the full heart to Jesus, not just get saved and then, okay, now I don't need you, Jesus, anymore. But they're actually willing to become martyrs for the call, materially, spiritually. In other words, I call them the full heart. But the other guys, Laodicea, etc., Sardi, I call them half a heart. In the sense, not all in the Book of the Lamb. Book of the Lamb, you go when you're really full heart. Who knows if you're full heart? Only you know. But also we know, also people know by looking at our fruits. You understand?
Yes.
I want to say in verse 8, where we read the fine linen is the righteousness of the saints, in the Amplified, it says, the fine linen is the upright, the just and godly living, the deeds and conduct and right standing with God of the saints. So it's a confirmation of what you said, that the wife, the bride of Christ, needs to have deeds. Not just grace and righteousness and salvation, but she needs to make herself ready through her deeds.
Perfect. You're right. In fact, some churches believe you can lose salvation, but they are right and wrong. They are right in the sense that Christians who are written just in the book of life, yes, they can lose salvation. What does it say? That Revelation 3:5, you can be raised. But they are wrong if we talk about another book, the book of the Lamb. In fact, we can see that everybody, it says, will worship the beast in Revelation 13, except those who are written the book of the Lamb, Revelation 13:8. Look at the contrast. Revelation 13:8, they cannot, they're protected by the angel, cannot worship the beast. Revelation 3:5, people can be raised. One way that some Christians are going to be raised because they received the mark of the beast. Okay, that would be one of the ways. You understand?
Yes.
Verse 10. And I fell at his feet to worship him. And he said unto me, See thou, do it not. I am thy fellow servant and of thy brethren that have the testimony of Jesus. Worship God. For the testimony of Jesus is the spirit of prophecy.
All right, so if you want to know how to prophesy, remember the testimony of Jesus. If you want to become a prophet, you need to go, you need to walk, you need to live, you need to preach the testimony of Jesus, which is that, the gospel. So if you want to be a prophet, you better walk in the gospel. I've seen some false prophets who don't walk in the gospel, but yet they prophesy, they're false prophets. You need to walk in the scripture, by the scripture, inside the scripture, not outside of the scripture. And that is the spirit of prophecy.
Amen.
Your prophecy has to be based on the word. All right, so what number you read?
Verse 10.
All right, so here we see that the angel, repeat again what the angel says, don't do it.
He said unto me, See, thou do it not. I am thy fellow servant.
All right. Okay, so what was he doing? He was worshiping. Mm-hmm. We see today, like half of the world Christianity, they're there worshiping statues and worshiping saints and worshiping
angels.
Angels and worshiping the Holy Mary. See, but the Holy Mary, they worship, like the Medjugorje or this guy. It's not the Mary, the mother of Jesus in the Bible. It's another Mary outside the Bible. Have you ever seen a statue inside the Bible?
No.
So for sure it's not inside the Bible.
Yeah.
So, but that's the way they are trained. They think it's right, so they do it. All right. So they're not guilty until somebody will witness to them with the scripture. And then after that, they are guilty. So you need to have the benefit of the innocence, like the benefits of ignorance. They just don't know. But once you go with the scripture, then they are responsible. And they keep insisting, worshiping. Because it says that in Exodus 20, it says, You shall not make graven images of God, of angel in heaven, or on the earth, under the sea. Zero. You cannot make a statue of God that's over a nice statue. It's different if you have a Bible for children with picture of Jesus, but that is not to worship, just to explain who Jesus is. That's okay. We use it with our children there. It's different than how lighting a candle, get on your knees, and kissing the piece of paper.
Mm-hmm. Yes.
The relic. Okay, so the angel said, don't do it. Don't do it. In fact, if you go to Revelation 22:8-9.
It says, worship God.
Yeah, worship God. Like every worship to anything else, you're stolen from God. The only one is Jesus you can give the worship, and the Holy Spirit, nothing else.
Amen.
God does not appear God except in the Holy Spirit and in Jesus. That's it. There are three appearances God made, right? Which is the same person, of course. So this is a parallel Revelation 22:8-9.
Revelation 22:8-9. And I, John, saw these things and heard them. And when I had heard and seen, I fell down to worship before the feet of the angel which showed me these things. And he said unto me, See thou, do it not.
Do it not. What are you doing? The angel goes scared. Do you want me to end up like Lucifer?
For I am thy fellow servant, and of thy brethren the prophets, and of them which keep the saying of this book.
Worship
God.
God.
Amen.
Okay. Again. What do you do today? No, we worship the saints. We worship the saints. You know, there is a holiday in the beginning of November. It's called the All Saints Holiday.
Yeah.
You know, the devil took it and turned it into Halloween.
Yeah.
You know, it's so easy for the devil
Amazing.
To do that. Who told you to worship all saints? A bunch of blinds. No, I have a... Yeah. God will have a little mercy. For the blind little sheep with the blinders, they're kept in ignorance by hierarchies who are double blind. But even the sheep who are blindly following, if they're confronted with the scripture, they better wake up. Otherwise, in the ditch with the false shepherds, they will fall. All right, shall we go to the end part of this chapter, Revelation 19, which begins... Verse 11 until verse 21?
Yes.
All right. My Bible, it says that the rider on the white horse, they could have explained a little better, but they didn't. Actually, this is Jesus, parallel of the riders on the white horse with the bow in Revelation 6:1. All right. The first horseman of the book of Revelation. There are four horsemen. And they say that's the Antichrist. That's absolutely blasphemy. That is Jesus.
Thank God. Amen.
on the white horse with a bow. He goes conquering and to conquer. Is that a picture of the devil, you think?
No.
You
no,
think the
no.
devil is going to go conquer and to conquer? The devil is going to fall in the ditch. He's going to fall in hell. The devil doesn't conquer nothing. Oh, the whole world will, yeah, fine, but for a rinky-dink, a little a few days.
Yes.
Because the 42 months of tribulation, he will not have control over the world because he'll be fighting against a lot of nations. So it's only when he overcomes everything and everybody and America and all that they'll say, okay, who can fight against the beast? A few days he will have control of the world, but it will be a control through the mark of the beast. We control the population through the mark of the beast. Did you call it that conquering? Mm-hmm. No, the Bible calls that enslaving. So here we see the same horse, Revelation 6:1, all right? And we see now with a sword. Let's start reading as we go. Verse 11 until 21, there are beautiful scripture. And it's, time period are we talking about here? Armageddon. Okay, so in Daniel 12:11-12, there are two sections. Because 1,290 days, which is the 42 months, plus 30 days, reach 1,290. 30 days is the wrath of God. And then there is another 1,235 days. 40 days more. Why? That is Armageddon. Okay. So it's a period of 30 days, a wrath of God, while in heaven there is a marriage of the Lamb, and a period is followed by a period of 45 days, which is this, Revelation 19:11. 45 days will last the battle of God against Gog and Magog, because we will be killing them one by one. God wants revenge. Okay, God wants to kill them one by one. I wonder who will have the honor of killing the Antichrist. That'd be a great honor.
Jesus.
Probably Jesus with a look.
With a look.
In fact, it says in 2 Thessalonians 2, he will destroy him with the brightness of his coming. In Joel chapter 2, he talks about this, Armageddon. Joel chapter 2. Ezekiel 38 and 39, the same is Armageddon. But let's go. Let's go. Verse 11.
Revelation 19:11. And I saw heaven opened, and behold, a white horse. And he that sat upon him was called Faithful and True, and in righteousness he does judge and make war.
Guess who that is?
Jesus.
12.
His eyes...
Tell us about his eyes.
His eyes were as a flame of fire.
And his head?
And on his head were many crowns.
And he had the name?
And he had the name written that no man knew but he himself.
Oh, he's not going to be the son of Mary? No. You'll have a new name, beloved. Because after the resurrection, you think it was the son of Mary resurrected?
No.
Who was?
The son of God.
The son of God. Amen. He was God, God.
Yes.
Before he was God in the son of Mary. And then he was God in God.
Will the bride know his name?
Oh, yeah, we will know. Well, I don't know. Here he says only he knows, so, well, I will find out. We'll figure it out.
We want to know everything, huh?
Jasmine.
Right, John?
Jasmine has a question also.
Jasmine, 12-year-old, my daughter. But bless you, Jasmine.
Bless you, John. But it says nobody will know but himself. But will we know it up there in heaven?
Yeah, that's after? You know, that's a very good question. Why don't you ask the Lord directly? And let me know.
It's a very easy question.
Probably we will. Especially if we are part of the Bride of Christ. Well, I suppose we will. My wife knows everything of me in and out, inside and out.
Right, yeah.
Including my sins and everything. God bless her. She helps me not to.
So you think Jesus will reveal it to his bride?
I'm sure he does.
Hmm.
I'm sure. It's possibly something like now that God told Moses. Moses said, let me take a look at your face. And God said, no, nobody can see me and live.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
And so right now, nobody can see God's face and live. So maybe it's kind of in heaven, only his bride will know his secret name, all right?
Mom is your bride?
Yes, yeah. You're right.
Mom is your bride.
But I don't have any secret name.
Yeah.
So do you understand? In heaven, maybe only the bride will know his super duper name. Let's go.
Thank you, Lord. Verse 13. And he was clothed with a vesture dipped in blood, and his name is called the Word of God.
Okay, so there is no doubt who we're talking about here.
Yes.
Thank you, Lord. 14.
And the armies which were in heaven followed him upon white horses, clothed in fine linen, white and clean.
Wow, all the armies which are in heaven. You know, in heaven there are different armies, it's plural. Okay, you know, there is Michael and his angels, mm-hmm. Gabriel and his team, mm-hmm. another archangel, other angel, this and that, in Revelation 5, 9 and 10. It says that those who are faithful among us are going to be priests and kings, and I believe there'll be also women, so I suppose queens, prince, princesses. God knows what's going to be up there. And it's kind of like, you know, the feudal system. You know,
yes.
They were the count, the duke, the duchess, archduke, the marquis, this all the nobility. I believe there was an example of how it's going to be in heaven. Like, if you are faithful, you'll be a count, more faithful a duke, more faithful an archduke. I'm talking about examples, okay? I'm not saying it's going to be exactly like that. Probably better. Mm-hmm. But I take that like an example of how it's going to be, because we see in Matthew 19 about the parable of the talents. Jesus says, you were faithful with five talents, yeah, take five cities. You're faithful with ten, take 10 cities. I mean, he couldn't have said that 10 planets or 10 solar system or 10 galaxies, but now we know that it's more than a city. We're talking more than cities here, okay? But don't want to be dogmatic too much, but for sure I'd be very inspired to see exactly how it's going to work out.
Amen.
Let's go.
Now here it repeats that the armies are clothed in fine linen, white and clean. The same linen we saw before.
Yes, yes. So that's why I think this is going to be only the bride that follow him. Another reason I believe this, because if you go with me to Revelation 17, there is an interesting scripture here, Revelation 17.
Can I read it?
Yes, you can read it. So it talks about the destruction of the Antichrist. They just destroyed Babylon. Okay, they destroyed Babylon. And then it talks about Jesus followed by the Armageddon armies. The armies in heaven will follow him. And then it talks about who are they that follow him. Verse 14, they shall make war.
These shall make war with the Lamb, and the Lamb shall overcome them. For he is the Lord of lords and King of kings, and they that are with him are called and chosen and faithful.
Okay. So, thank you, John. So, they that are with him are called, number one, chosen, two, and three, faithful. So, does this look like Laodicea to you?
No.
Does it look like those guys in Matthew 7, 21 to 23? 23, that says, I never knew you. Get out of here.
No, it doesn't look like that.
Does it look like those guys? Get out of here. I don't know you. A chosen, faithful, a cult. Does it look like?
No.
All right. So read again the scripture, Revelation 19.
14.
Yeah.
And the armies which were in heaven followed him upon white horses, clothed in fine linen, white and clean.
Okay. So these are the same people follow Jesus in Armageddon. The same people that we... It shows the Revelation 17 we just read, or that they destroy the Antichrist, which is still talking about Armageddon, and they're called faithful. So I believe it's going to be the bride of Christ, but not only the bride of Christ, also others who?
I don't know.
Uh-huh, you just read it.
The armies, you said, the angels.
Okay.
The armies of heaven, plural. Okay. Mm-hmm. In other words, Michael and his angels, okay? Yeah. So Michael is his angel before we get raptured.
Yes.
So there is Michael's angels to follow Jesus, other angels, because plural, it says the armies, plural, armies of heaven. What army is going to be in heaven, John?
Michael's.
Whatever God puts you, right? As close as possible to Jesus?
Yes.
Sounds
yes,
good.
Yes, yes.
Sounds good. Keep being faithful. So then, where are we, Dora?
Well, we just read 14.
Also,
like Angie was saying, that they are clothed in fine linen, those who follow Jesus at Armageddon.
Yeah.
And verse 8 of the same chapter, it says the fine linen is what the wife of the Lamb is clothed in. So it's clearly it's the bride.
Yes, but it's not just the resurrected bride that will have fine linen.
No, not just that.
There are other people in heaven already fine linen.
Mm-hmm. Yes.
So it's not exclusivity. We don't have the monopoly of the fine linen.
No, because it says armies, but the wife is.
There are other armies. The wife also. I mean, these are details we'll figure out in heaven.
Well, Lord, help us to be faithful so we can be there, coming with him.
Can we carry on here? Yes. These details amen. In heaven you will see in a snap.
Yes, amen. Verse 15. And out of his mouth goes a sharp sword, that with it he should smite the nations. And he shall rule them with a rod of iron. And he treadeth the winepress of the fierceness and the wrath of the Almighty God.
Wow. So you can see this also in chapter 14 about the two harvests. The first harvest with the golden sickle is the rapture.
Mm-hmm.
The second harvest, okay, the grapes of the earth are ripe, and the angel gathered, he throws the sickle, and the grapes were gathered, and they were cast into?
The wine press.
Wine press of God. And out of it came out?
Blood.
Blood. Until the horse's bridle. Because that represents Armageddon. When Armageddon comes, there's going to be hundreds of millions that will be killed. Revelation 9, it says 200 million will cross the Euphrates. So we're talking about the slaughter of hundreds of millions. There'll be blood everywhere. I mean, the rivers will be tainted with blood. Armageddon is next. Northwest of Galilee, the Sea of Galilee. So I imagine that the Sea of Galilee, that's what Armageddon is. It's a valley, it's called the Valley of Esdraelon. Okay, that's where Armageddon comes from. Armageddon is a word that the worldly map it doesn't exist. Okay, so it's like anagram of the Armageddo and Esdraelon. So if you put together Armageddon and Esdraelon, you get Armageddon. Okay, Armageddon, Esdraelon, Armageddon. So Armageddo is a town. Megiddo is a town that it guards the passage of the two mountains that goes into Syria. Right? And it's a city that's been rebuilt 27 times and destroyed 27 times because they were guarding the passage. The passage from Syria goes to Armageddon. Because it's so strategic, every new power that took over Israel built a new city. And the new power that came after destroyed it and built another one. So it was destroyed and rebuilt 27 times. So much that it's even though it's a valley, the city is 300 meters high because it's built on the rubbles of 27 destructions. Understand?
So
the,
wow,
okay,
mountain,
the city,
yeah.
And it's called the Heights of Megiddo, Armageddon in Hebrew, Armageddon and Esdraelon. The Valley of Armageddon, the name is Esdraelon. You find that on the map. So Armageddon. You got it?
Yes. Yes.
So mystery solved.
Thank
That's
you
where Armageddon comes from. Okay, what did you read?
I read 15.
15. So then, I see in Armageddon, the people killed in Armageddon are the grapes which are treaded upon in the winepress of the wrath of God, all right? And in other words, Armageddon is the ending of the wrath of God. The wrath of God begins in Revelation chapter 15, and it ends in Revelation chapter 19. 20 is the millennium. Okay, so that's why he says it treaded the winepress of the fierceness of the wrath of Almighty God. Or the wrath of God of these 6,000 years, since the blood of Cain, since the tripping and falling into the ditch, Adam and Eve, until Armageddon, God has been refraining, controlling his wrath. Here, he will unleash it, and there will be blood everywhere. The Lake of Galilee, tainted with blood. And
what's tainted?
Tainted like we call it, we read. And so there'll be kind of little river, so to speak, with blood flowing. If you enter the Lake of Galilee with a horse until the head of the horse, it will be tainted with blood. So it kind of literally, in a way.
So the wrath of God is Armageddon.
It's the end of the wrath of God. It begins with the first cup of the wrath.
The vials of the wrath, yeah.
Chapter 15, 16, 17, 18, and 19. The destruction of Babylon, Armageddon, is part of the wrath of God. The wrath of God is 15, 16, 17, 18, and 19. Okay, so all this chapter.
Yes.
Four chapters of wrath. Let's go to the next.
16. And he has on his vesture and on his tight a name written, King of Kings and Lord of Lords. And I saw an angel standing in the sun, and he cried with a loud voice, saying to all the fowls that fly in the midst of heaven, come and gather yourselves together unto the supper of the great God.
Wow, the Lord has organized a banquet. For who? For the birds. Verse 18.
That he may eat the flesh of kings, and the flesh of captains, and the flesh of mighty men, and the flesh of horses, and of them that sit on them, and the flesh of all men, both free and bond, both small and great. And I saw the beast.
Amen. So this is a parallel. You can see a cross-reference here with Ezekiel 39. It repeats word by word. In Ezekiel 39, it says word by word. Come, birds of heaven, that you may eat the flesh of kings, flesh of captains, mighty men, of horses. Okay, why? Because it's the same event. Ezekiel 38, 39 is Armageddon. Gog invades Israel. All right. In fact, invades from the north. All right. And arrives in Armageddon. There he parks. He parks all his army. Hundreds of millions, hey. Tanks, all kinds of stuff. God had to let them dry the river Euphrates, to let all these hundreds of millions of soldiers, Chinese or whatnot, and Persian, Iranian, and Turkish, and Indonesian, Pakistanis, Afghanis, all kinds, all right? Because most of them are going to be Muslim and Chinese. And he's going to kill them all in Armageddon. So in other words, he's going to attract them. So Israel is going to be a bait to lure the Antichrist. Come and conquer Jerusalem. Because it's been said that one cannot rule the world unless he rules Jerusalem. So they want to come there to conquer Israel and Jerusalem. Jerusalem is the center of the three main monotheistic religion, Christianity, Islam, and Jewish. They have to control that. The Antichrist doesn't want to go. In Ezekiel 38, God has to put hooks in his mouth. So I will put hooks in your mouth, O Gog, Antichrist. I will drag you, stubborn, you don't want to come, but I will drag you into Israel, and there you shall die. The devil knows, and the Christ knows he's going to die. They doesn't want to go. But the Muslims are going to say, hey, if you don't go, you're not our chief anymore, so you will have to go. Why does he go? Hey, at least he will bring all those guys to hell with him. Remember Hitler? Well, before he committed suicide, what did he do? He said, fight, Nazi soldiers supposed to fight until the last man. There were some Third Reich general with more salt in the head than him that just surrendered. And he was furious. Why they didn't die? Demon possessed. Eh? And that was a picture of what the Antichrist will do at the end. He will die and all with him. And that's the glory of the devil. That he will go to hell, but he will drag people with him. Beloved, who are listening to this message, don't let the devil drag you.
Amen.
Through his homosexuality, through his socialism, his Marxism, his finances, through his capitalism, Americanism, Europeanism, don't let them drag you to hell. go to Jesus.
Amen.
False religion, false Christianity. Christianity that worshiping building instead of Jesus and obey the gospel, go preach the gospel. Amen?
Yes, amen. Amen.
Please.
I can.
Okay, what number are you?
19.
Let's go.
And I saw the beast and the kings of the earth and the armies gathered together to make war against him that sat on the horse and against his army. And the beast was taken, and with him the false prophet that wrought miracles before him, with which he deceived them that had received the mark of the beast and them that worshipped his image. These both were cast alive into the lake of fire burning with brimstone. And the remnants were slain with the sword of him that sat upon the horse, which sword proceeded out of his mouth, and all the fowls were filled with their flesh.
Thank you. God bless you. You don't read bad for 9 years old, eh? Pretty good. Bless you. You are a cute, little, good missionary. You are a good example. So praise
amen,
the Lord.
Amen. Thank you, John.
Well, this is self-explanatory. We explained already everything. So this is the final ending. This is the...
Well, yeah, we explained, but can you make a quick resume about who's the beast, the false prophet, and what happens to them?
Okay, so...
Into words. I know we explained before.
What
in
do you
other
want
chapters.
To know exactly?
Who is this false prophet?
Yeah, of course, if you follow our Bible course, we have a... big Bible course in Italian, 5 months.
in
Italian. English, what do we have?
We have many teachings.
Okay.
That if you write in, we can send it to you.
Yes. We can try to help you. So what's your question exactly?
If you can explain it to words, I know we did in the other chapters, but who is this beast and the false prophet that are thrown in the lake of fire?
Okay, so
and those who receive the mark of the beast?
The false prophet is the Pope, correct?
I think so. That's my guess, and I'm not the only one. Because in Revelation 13, it says that the false prophet, which we see in Revelation 13:11, we see him again in Revelation 19:20, where he's called the false prophet. And he comes with the horns of a lamb in Revelation 13, which the lamb represents Jesus in the Bible, but he has a mouth of a dragon. So it's like, I believe this Pope is a false Catholic, is a false Christian. We should pray for the Catholic who are under his spell to get out of him and just follow Jesus, become true Christian, belong to the true church of God in the world, which is not Protestants or Catholic, it's Christian.
Yeah, but you do...
Holy Spirit, it's Bible.
You do speak as an evangelical when you say the Pope is the false prophet.
No, but even the Catholic, many Catholics don't believe in this Pope. Also, in the history of the Popes, there are some Popes which historically, you can check encyclopedias, some Popes were demon-possessed, some of them were pedophiles, some of them murderers. Mm-hmm. I mean, supposedly they're infallible, but that's one place where they really got it wrong. The first pope is supposed to be Peter, but Peter looked like everything except a pope. He was just an apostle. So he's just a bunch of balonies, okay? No, it's like God is not Catholic or Protestant or evangelical. He just, Christ is Christ. So don't put labels on Jesus. Evangelical, mm-hmm. Catholic, just forget that. Jehovah's Witness. No, it's the Word of God is Christ, and we are Christian, period. Mm-hmm. More than Christian. You don't need to be Christian, Jehovah's Witness, or Christian, or another denomination. Amen?
Amen. So here we see the ending of the beast, the false prophet, and those who follow them.
Okay, the beast is the same. It's called different ways in the Bible. Okay, it's called the beast in the book of Revelation. It's called the man of sin, 2 Thessalonians 2. It's called Gog in Ezekiel 38. He's a demon in the flesh. All right? That's it. And the false prophet is going to be a guy with the horns of a lamb in parables, which is a guy dressed up like a Christian. Big authority, big voice. So somebody like the Pope, most probably the Pope himself, this guy that we have now, or the next, or his right-hand man, all right?
But many people think that the Pope himself is the Antichrist.
No, that's wrong. No, the Pope is just preparing the way for the Antichrist. Okay, just like the devil is imitating God. Just like Jesus had his John the Baptist, so the devil wants to have his false prophet to prepare the way for the Antichrist. This Pope is blessing all the politicians, is blessing especially the socialist Marxist, because the political system in the end time as we see in the prophecies of the end time, Revelation 12 and 17, the dragon is shown, the dragon, the devil, is shown colored in red, which is the color of socialism, Marxism, communism. He's going to take the world through socialism, Marxism. All right? So that's what's
yes,
happening.
Yes, thank you.
Any other?
No.
The rest is clear, no?
Yes.
So
yes.
They are cast into the lake of fire. They'll burn forever and ever. And if you go to Revelation 20, verse 9 and 10, I think it's verse 10, you see that they're waiting there for the devil to join them. You want to read that too?
Revelation 20, verse 10. And yes. The devil that deceived them was cast into the lake of fire and brimstone, where the beast and the false prophet are, and shall be tormented day and night forever and ever.
Thank you, Lord. So it's pretty clear, no?
Yes.
Is there any,
yes.
Really an explanation
no.
here? All right. We know that by other Bible study that we did, that the scripture make it clear that what's tormented is a carcass, it's not the soul.
Mm-hmm.
The devil in hell dies. Everybody that is not saved that goes to hell dies. I know some churches preach that the day you scream and yell for eternity. Well, that's just religion, okay? But in the Bible, scripturally, this church cannot prove this. It cannot prove that in hell there is a soul, a living soul that's tormented. It cannot prove that.
It's because it says forever and ever.
Yeah, but talking about the carcass, the dead carcass. Where do we see? Because you see in Revelation 20, it talks about the Revelation 20, 11 to 15. It talks. We'll get that in the next teaching. Shall we wait for the next teaching?
All right.
Yes.
So we don't jump ahead.
We can explain it well.
Yeah, we're going to show you in the next chapter that God is not enjoying the suffering of people in hell, but actually scripture, many scripture make it clear that the wicked die and goodbye. It's die and goodbye. It's not go and suffer and yell and scream. Not at all. Not at all. Would you like to have your enemy screaming forever?
No. It's no joy in it.
Absolutely not. The second death. Revelation 20, 11, it talks about the second death. Isaiah 64, 24 talks about the dead carcasses who burn. Anyway, we'll study better next
yes,
chapter.
Yes.
Amen.
The worm never dies.
And yeah, like it says in Matthew 9, the worms never dies. Amen.
How come? I thought they burn.
Yeah, but when you burn garbage, the garbage doesn't burn altogether. There are always worms that move around. They get away from the fire, but they stay like around the garbage, the worms. So the worms never die. There'll always be worms. Understand? Because it's the garbage. The Gehenna, the lake of fire, or the Gehenna, it's a word that comes from in Jerusalem, where they had where people were dumping the garbage. It was called the Gehenna. They were dumping the garbage. I set it on fire. It was burning forever, day and night.
What?
They were burning the garbage. You know when you burn the garbage? Because every day you throw new garbage. So the fire never goes off. It's kind of damp, a little wet. Like that. So it smokes and burns forever and ever.
That's pretty horrible.
Right, yes, that's hell. Jesus used that for a representation of hell. Gehenna was a place in Jerusalem, outside Jerusalem. They were burning the garbage.
At least outside.
Yes, and hell is a place where God will burn the spiritual garbage.
Thank you, Lord.
All right, any more questions?
No, we finished chapter 19. And yes. We saw in this chapter that the marriage of the Lamb is right before Armageddon. So after the marriage, Jesus goes and fights against the Antichrist and destroys him. Now we have teachings on all the end time chronology step by step with scriptures explained very well. If you write in, brethren, we can send it to you.
Amen.
You can write in at our email radioblaststudio@gmail.com. Or info@radioblast.net.
Amen. In the name of Jesus, but for the new brethren who don't know us or the first time that you get in touch with us or you tune in with our message, I want to say a couple of words of blessing to you.
Yes.
Any one of you who's been going to a religion that told you you never know about your salvation, no, you can know. You can find out right now if you're going to be saved or not by receiving Jesus.
Mm-hmm.
Because it says in Romans 10, 9 and 13, if you confess Jesus Christ as your Savior, confess your sins, you shall be saved. And Ephesians 2, 8 and 9, Titus 3, 5, says that not by works of righteousness,
which we have done, but according to His mercies He has saved us.
Slowly.
not by works of righteousness which he has done, but according to his mercies he has saved us.
Amen. Thank you, John. Wonderful. So not by works, not by our righteousness, not because we're good, not because we're Catholic or evangelical, but because of his blood, because he paid for our sins. Why Jesus to die on the cross? Yeah, to die on the cross, because if he didn't die on the cross, as a sinner, spiritually in the front of God, nobody would have paid for our sins, and we had to pay, and we couldn't resurrect. So somebody had to die to fulfill the righteousness of God. Somebody had to pay for our sins. Our sin, including one little debt, is called the debt of death. All right? Like, the day you shall eat of this fruit, you shall die. That's a debt we have to pay. And not because God just wanted to punish. Because if you eat the fruit, you become like the devil. Very as simple as that. You don't want to live like the devil. Okay, yes, so yes. The death is not just a punishment from God because you want to punish, you enjoy punishing. No. Death is a way to save heaven from devils, from demons, from people who go around like a demon possessed. You want to live in a house with the demon possessed going around breaking and cursing and stealing and killing and raping? Who wants to live with people like that? Nobody.
No.
So in heaven, the way people are doing that in heaven, that's the devil and his demons. So God is casting them out. I mean, in every country of the world, there is not one nation in the world that they don't... either today or in the past, they were not killing the criminals and killing the rapists and killing the serial killer. And, I agree with that. In some countries now, they don't have that anymore, but they used to have it. Well, that's what God has in heaven too. You live like the devil, you will be punished like the devil. Okay? So, serial killer repents, fine, but you better repent before we catch you. Because God says if you don't repent, you're going to pay for it. Amen. So
yes, amen.
After being often reproved, hardens his neck, he says, book of Proverbs, he shall be suddenly destroyed. If either being often reproved but doesn't change, doesn't repent, shall be destroyed. Amen. So it's a law of God, but it's a law not just for revenge, also, but mostly to protect the rest. You separate a rotten apple, not just because you enjoy destroying the rotten apple. No, that's maybe a little. Mostly to protect the good apple, you know, to protect the children from pedophile, to protect the peacemaker from the warmongering, to protect the honest girls from the rapist. Okay, to protect a world that God created beautiful from the devil and his contamination. In the name of Jesus Christ, amen. So, conclusion, I want to bless you. Anybody follow me? The Lord bless you, anoint you, pray with me. Lord Jesus, come into my heart, into my life. Forgive me all my sins. Give me eternal life. Give me your salvation. I want to serve you in my life and even until I die and even beyond. Baptize me, Jesus, with your Holy Spirit. You are the great baptizer. You are the Baptist. The real Baptist in the Holy Spirit is you, Jesus. It's not the church, it's not the church. In the name of Jesus Christ, I receive you, Jesus.
Amen.
I want to read your word, love your word, preach your word, follow your word, bless your word, live in your word, because you are the word.
Amen.
And you now I receive you into my heart, like it's written, Galatians 4:6. God has sent the Spirit of His Son into our hearts. Therefore, we are now the body of Christ. Bless you, brethren, and any one of you prayed full heart, you're in the book of the Lamb. If you prayed half a heart, maybe by the skin of your teeth in the book of life. But as soon as you can, make sure that if you didn't pray full heart, that you do it, brethren. You need it. Mark of the Beast is coming. Antichrist is coming, like we studied in Revelation 11 to 13. Chapter 11 until chapter 13, Mark of the Beast is coming. You will need to study the book of the Lamb. Only then, like it says in Revelation 13:8, you will be protected by his angel. In life, or as a martyr. Bless you. Thank you, Angie.
Thank you, Dora. Thank you, Brother Joseph.
Jasmine, John, bless you. Thank you for your help.
Bless you.
Amen.
Bless you.